Joe?
We can't hear Joe.
You are listening to Skid Row Studios.
You're 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 listening to Skid Row Studios. You're listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe.
You are listening to Grand Theft Audio Radio with Jake Belcher and Brant Thoman.
How y'all doing? I totally would usually play our normal intro, but for some reason it's throwing a 2-minute advertisement in front of it. So F you, YouTube. You screwed me. Hey, this is Jake Belcher.
And I'm Brant Thoman.
And we have a special in-studio guest host for the day.
That's right.
One of my best friends for a good amount of time now. So much so that I even asked him to marry Cheryl and I. And I'm super excited and stoked to have him joining us. He's kind of the Joe-ru, kind of like Guru, but with Joe in front of it. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Joe Beauvais.
Hey, all right. Good morning, everybody out there in the world.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. This is a new thing for me. I'm a virgin.
Well, we promise we'll be gentle.
No. Make it hurt.
Oh,
okay. All right.
That is not something I'm usually asked to do. So, you know. Here we go.
Yeah.
All right. On top. Right 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 on top.
Okay, there it was a little bit slow, but we are right on time.
We are now right on time.
For a brand new Grand Theft Audio. So not only do we have Joe in studio with us today, we've also got entertainment reporter coming in to do a preview of movies that are coming out this week.
Reviews of movies he's already seen as well, because he didn't get a chance to come in last week.
Yeah, I guess. So what is he going to cover from last week?
Dark Shadows. He'd seen that. And I want to. And remember, he had told us personally before he got to say it on the air that he thought the movie was horrible. And Carl is a guy who likes everything, especially if it's on a big screen.
If it was horrible, that means it must have been too loud for him to sleep through.
Well, Cause didn't like it.
Yeah, I know. And he's like the king of them. I love everything.
Yeah, I love everything Johnny Depp.
And then he's seen Battleship, so he'll be reviewing that for us. And
I think he even went out and saw What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Awesome.
So we got three devil reviews for three things that I'm not going to see.
Right. Dark Shadows, I'll wait till it hits cable.
No yeah, problem. That'll be an HBO that. Saturday Nighter.
Yeah. Or maybe on the Netflix, since I'm already paying for it. When it hits there, maybe I'll do it that way and get a little quicker.
If you had to see any of those three movies, Joe, which one would you actually go out and pay money to see? Battleship, What to Expect When You're Expecting, or Dark Shadows?
I would go out and take my wife to see What to Expect When You're Expecting, because I know I'd get some later. Battleship. Hey,
that is an important thing to consider.
Yep.
Like I did not take that into consideration. If I was being smart, I would think that I would get some if I took my wife out for the Dark Shadows.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Vampires.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vampire.
I would do Dark Shadows probably. Johnny Depp, you know, he's good.
I still think Avengers will top number one this week. I don't think Battleship will have it in its
more than likely.
It's not getting good reviews. So what a surprise. A board game about how the only people who can stop an alien invasion is the Navy. Our boats on the ocean are going to stop aliens that have invaded our world. So,
which was so much a part of the kids' game when you sat across each other putting your pegs
in
your battleship.
It will be now. The game that we played is old and antiquated. The new version, I'm sure, is going to have those aliens up around the edges.
You're going to have a choice of either being the Navy or the aliens, and you'll have different ships that you'll have to take out, and they'll be exactly the same thing.
If they don't do this, they're retarded, right?
Oh, no. Dude, it's probably all set for a Christmas release with the movie, too, where if you buy the movie, you'll get a coupon to go out and buy the game.
Or just package the two together.
There's even that, but
Walmart.
Hey man, that's what I'm anticipating. It'll be out by Christmas for the Christmas rush, and the new board game will be out as well.
I think that's a decent prediction. I'm not always a big fan of all your predictions, but I think that one is actually a pretty decent prediction.
And we'll see. Next summer we have Sorry, the movie.
Well, the game of life.
Is that true?
No.
They should.
Candyland, the movie?
Okay, I mean, I would probably see Risk.
That one actually would work as an animated feature towards kids. I guarantee you could do that.
Probably so with like Chutes and Ladders. Or
that one would be fun too.
I mean, at least you can do some fun camera stuff with it.
Yeah, absolutely. You can do different types of shoots too. Like instead of just being ladders and just like slides, you could have like a water shoot or something that's being filmed. Like reminiscent to me of like Goonies when they're shooting down that that water slide before they get to the ship.
Well, if it's good enough for the Goonies, then it's good enough for me.
I compare a lot of my movies to the Goonies. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
The Goonies, I don't know, man. People hold that movie in pretty high esteem. I think as a fat kid, I never got over the beginning of that movie.
The Truffle Shuffle?
With the Truffle Shuffle. Like, the whole rest of the time, I'm like, this movie is offensive.
Yeah, but at the same time,
I'm sure Asian kids had the same problem.
I remember when they're interrogating him, and he's going through all the horrible things that he's done, and the last one is how he goes into the movie theater, and he dumps out something and made the sound like as if he was barfing, and then threw it over the edge, and the splattering sound made everybody inside the theater start barfing. And I laughed so hard at that story for some reason. It just cracked me up. So even though the Truffle Shuffle was what it was, funniest character.
There was a story about barf from that kid in it?
Yeah.
Was Stand By Me like the same kid?
No. Stand By Me had the pie eating contest. This was where he snuck into a movie theater.
I mean, that kid had two movies.
No, it's a different kid.
But it's like the actor.
No, it's a different actor.
It's not Jerry, whatever his name is?
No, that's not Jerry O'Connell.
Okay, so they're just two different movies.
Two different movies, but with two barf stories. I could see how you could get them confused.
Well, if it's good enough for the Goonies, it's good enough for me. Man, I used to love Cyndi Lauper videos.
They were always the best.
You know what? What made them stand out and above everybody else's?
The active role of wrestlers in it.
No doubt. The inclusion of like Captain Lou and Hillbilly Jim and the Iron Sheik. And you always hear about the Rock and wrestling connection.
Yeah, I remember that.
She is the Rock part of that equation.
Indeed.
So it's good enough for Goonies and good enough for Cyndi. It's good enough for me.
Yeah, good enough. I love Fuck Around Fridays.
It is much more relaxing than just like this week on Capitol Hill.
Which is what we totally sound like when we talk about it.
Okay, yeah, you're right. It's usually like, yo, this is fucked up. I guess speaking of fucked up, they have now started the Facebook IPO. It went out today.
Yep.
I got a little alert on my phone right before we came on that it has actually hit the market now.
I'll see if I can bring it up on my phone, see what it's trading at right now.
Because it really matters in my world.
Hey, man, it will. If the state gets what it says it's going to get, it'll help a little bit. There's a $1.5 billion that the state alone is going to make off of IPO.
Well, attaboy Mark Zuckerberg.
Yep, thank you, sir.
I'm sure there's a big parade on Cesar Chavez Boulevard that the services don't have to be cut. That's where we put our fucking money. I mean, it's like wonderful. I'm so excited. But it has been a huge story. Like, you can't get around this thing. Every newscast you see, they all try to find their new angle on it. And it is kind of boring to somebody who doesn't have any money. Like, when the stock market crashes, I'm like, those fucking people with money. That's right. Suck on dicks, rich people.
Here's the thing. What happens if it goes the way of MySpace? What if it doesn't? What if the next big thing surpasses it? And you're just going to watch all those people lose all that money?
And then I don't get my Twitter IPO out going. You know?
I stand by my original statement of suck our dicks, rich people. Because I'm not going to make anything off this. You're right. By the time that I'm able to like buy a Facebook share, I think it came out at $38. Is that what they said?
$38 to start?
The
initial public offering. And then that'll raise $104 billion in investment capital for them. So
that's a lot of money, dude.
That's a lot of money, man.
Oh my God, it's already up $2.
It's up to 40.
$39.95. $39.95. I apparently just updates constantly. I can just
yes, it looks like it does.
Can you sit here saying the number over and again? Oh my gosh, is it gonna break 40? Someone has already made like 10% more of their money. This is the American dream. I mean, the last thing I really got this excited about was when the WWE put out their IPO. And I told everybody, yeah, the WWE is a safe investment. And then, wrestlers start dying and lawsuits start coming in. And there's so many things that can happen to Facebook. It's not like they make a product. It's not like they are IBM and they kick computers out. It's not like they actually like do something. All they do is figure out a way of wasting time. And all it takes is a cooler website to come by and have everybody say, F Facebook. I'm not going to pay attention to that anymore.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's already happened to MySpace and Friendster, and I just don't know what the cycle is on this.
Well, the smart thing that they're doing is purchasing up other internet companies, like the Instagram deal. was that them or did Google buy them?
I think it was them.
Yeah, it was them. They bought that. So by purchasing these other smaller companies, they're going to be able to work those into an integrated network where the advertising and the revenue is just going to continue to grow. I perceive that to happen. I mean, there's just too much money to let that company fail at this point. I mean, it would take a dramatic, some kind of disaster.
I just don't think that you can make somebody use a social network. I don't think that this isn't something like where they make tires. I mean, it becomes a matter of opinion, and there's a lot of people who just don't sign up for it, don't want to be part of it. And when you have other companies, it's not really like that. It's they make something. It's just fundamentally different to me. This is not the type of thing that I could go out of my way to actually back and use.
Yeah, I completely understand. And until they figure out how they're going to be able to turn a profit on that, maybe this is that one application that will continue to link you to all these other places where you're going to spend your money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to continue to use Facebook because you're still happy with the product it's giving you. But I know the loss of GM. Like we spoke about earlier this week, how they pulled all $10 million of their advertising that they've been giving to Facebook for the last year because they were seeing minimal ad recognition in regards to like the little ads that were popping up on the side. They were getting more just by going to their page on Facebook. They were getting more reaction from that and more drive. So that was kind of a hit. That was kind of a surprise that they would lose a big advertiser like that so quickly.
I mean, I don't really know. Joe, do you actively participate in this type of stuff?
I check it occasionally. You know, I'm not one of those people that has to get home to check my Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my friends are fairly interesting, but not everybody's got something I want to hear.
Right.
Yeah. I often wonder, I mean, okay, so I have a lot of, I don't want to say like they're celebrity friends, but we've met a lot of people through this show. And before I went on, when I first started Facebook, that wasn't really the way it was. I mean, it was all me and my regular friends.
Right.
And now it's like I have so many of these like, kind of fake celebrity friends that are, it's a different experience. I wonder what it's like for people who don't have those. Like for a Facebook user who just has some friends that he actually knows and hangs out with all the time.
Like I say, a Facebook user in maybe North Dakota.
Yeah, that's
not going to have a lot of the names that we
come out to my comedy show on Friday night.
Right, exactly.
I got to put up with 40 or 50 of those every week now because we've had so many comedians on.
Yeah,
that it just gets to be like, what's it like for just a regular person to have theirs? I bet it's a lot more fun because I'm constantly looking at things I just can't do. Oh, all right. I think we have a phone call coming in. We'll just heard. Hello, you're on Grand Theft Audio Radio.
Hey, Joe, this is your Auntie Rita. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you, Auntie Rita.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Did you send her a message on Facebook telling her that you were going to be on the radio this morning?
I certainly did.
There we go. There it is. So you don't check your Facebook that often.
I did this morning.
So yeah, that's right. Today is Joe's birthday, and we haven't had a chance to tell our listeners that. But Joe, do you want to say which birthday you're celebrating today?
It's the 40 deuce.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. Yeah. So you remember Joe when he was a little guy, eh?
Oh, yeah. I think Joe was one of the kids that I taught to drive a car, so that was real scary.
You were a Volkswagen bug.
Yep.
What was the scariest moment of the teaching him to drive experience?
You know, all kids think that they're invincible, and they don't know where the brake is. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things. And when you're teaching somebody to drive a stick shift, they get confused where the brake is, and that's the most important pedal in the whole car. So, you know, he was a good kid, though. Joe's been a real joy to watch grow up and be around. And I had the fortune to meet his family for the first time. I live in Seattle. He lives in L.A., and I was in L.A. this past winter and got to meet his lovely wife and his little boy, and they're just a joy. So I'm really proud of you, Joe. Go get him, buddy.
Oh, thank you, Andrea. I love you.
Thanks for calling in and giving the birthday wish.
Okay. Take care.
All right, UT. Have a good one. Hey, that's pretty exciting, man. Like, you got birthday wishes on your actual birthday. Like,
from my Auntie Rita, who, one of my favorite memories of her was my parents had a Saturday night poker game every week, and she used to just come and clean up because she had a T-shirt. This is the 70s. She had a T-shirt with painted on breast.
Yeah.
And she would clean up, and all the guys were distracted. So Rita, she was always the poker shark.
That's a very smart idea. I mean, it's like anytime you can cheat and get an advantage, you should totally do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I always like to roll around with about $1,000 in Monopoly money in my pocket, just in case a game breaks out. Like,
you always have that little, like, those extra $200, $500 bills in there.
I'm not that blatant.
I go 500s.
Yeah, like, you can sneak that into your pile a lot better. Like, I don't have to be a banker, and I'm going to watch you. Like, I can't abhor cheaters.
Yeah.
That's always my goal. Hey, we got some kind of funky background static coming in that I don't usually hear. Ah, there we go. There we go. Now it's gone completely. All right. Hey, we got to go to our first break of the day. We have so much more coming up ahead today, and it's just an exciting one. I haven't even said that on the other side of this break, we are going to be getting our, I guess, our first guest today. Joe's a guest host. So that's a
You're right, guest host, but our first, like, in studio interview guest?
Yeah, so Supna.
Of the week.
That's true.
Of the week.
So we have Supna Kumar, who is going to be out at our live show this Saturday night down in Santa Monica at the West Side, and she's come in to kind of get introduced to the audience and stuff, and so I'm pretty excited about having her.
Absolutely.
And before we get into that, we're going to bring on a track from one of our past favorite guests. This is the Big Joe Hurt Band with their new song called Rescue Me. So check it out, and we'll be back after this. I don't know, man. I'm not trying to be like a dick to these people, but I like their other songs. I'm not going to say their name again. Maybe I'll go back and find some way of deleting that song out. Anybody who's listening to me live, that was fucking awful. It really went bad there. Like, I've liked your other music there, Big Joe Hurt, but yeah, I got to call it like I see it. That song sucked nuts, and this is my fault for not listening to it beforehand. I mean, really, it's really bad. I mean, I can't take it apart. This is not professional at all. Hey, this is Jake Belcher.
And I'm Brant Thoman.
Joe Bove.
Hey, this is Sapna Kubar. And you were going to introduce me, but I just introduced myself.
Whoa. All morning I've been shitting myself. Like, how am I going to say your name right? How am
well,
I going to say your
name
right?
Well, that's why I did it. That's why I said my name. So you wouldn't be caught on the spot.
But see, then now I don't even get a chance to say it.
You can try. It's like, what's up? No, come on. Just give yourself a shot.
Wait. It's like, what?
It's like, what's up? No.
Now, this must be something you say a lot, right? Because that's what I just said to you before we went on here. Like,
yes.
Okay, so are you really sick of hearing that be said?
No. You can say it as much as you want.
Supna.
Very good.
Okay, well. Do you ever get supna?
Yeah, I get that all the time.
That's how we're going to, every time we want to talk to you, we're going to go, supna.
Okay.
So, supna, how you doing today?
I'm just fabulous. I have a broken foot, though.
Oh, no. How did that happen?
I kicked somebody in his metal sheath.
Whoa. I'm not even sure where that is. We must be watching different types of fantasy films.
It's really too embarrassing to admit how I actually did it. I just turned my ankle.
Just like walking regularly?
Like my foot fell asleep and I got up off the couch and that's the wow. height of laziness.
Wow. He just decided, no, I'm not going to work yet. And then crack.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
How long ago did this happen?
It's been about 2 months.
How much longer do they expect rehab? Sorry.
Well, I don't know. I might need surgery.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Wow.
I thought you were just kind of with 2 months. Like, wow, that's really a long time. Maybe she's just nursing the boot to get our sympathies.
But, that's what I was going to ask. Supna.
Well, I find that Scotch really helps.
Like the brand of tape?
No, Scotch really helps pain.
I feel the same way in regards to marijuana.
Killer Scotch?
I like Johnny Walker Black Label.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's the good stuff.
I'm not familiar with it.
You're not familiar with Johnny Walker Black Label?
No.
I can't find my Walker. I mean my Johnny Walker.
I think I've always been more of like a whiskey and rum guy. So I think I've somehow managed to avoid the Johnny Walker.
You should go to Jamaica.
You should go to Jamaica.
What a great ad.
And get high on the grass. So wait, did you go to Jamaica or is this just a random
No,
reference?
I'm just thinking rum. I mean, I think, I don't know about whiskey, but I just was thinking.
Rum, and among other things, Jamaica has to offer.
That's the only thing that I care about.
It is?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Big black guys are there to make like your vacation a dream come true.
I'm not really into guys, so. But that's cool. That's cool. They're there. Oh, they could be very entertaining.
Well, all the women down there got those big old nice round, you know.
Yeah, right.
Figures.
Jamaican booty. Jamaican me crazy booty, right?
Yeah.
That's what Jamaica's about. Okay, so you are a comic that was recommended to us by Carl. And I've done some looking into you, and I hate Carl's references almost all the time. I'm actually super stoked to have you today. What are you doing out here in L.A.?
I have a show at the West Side Comedy Theater tomorrow night.
Yeah, I heard about
and
that.
So, and I'm just sort of hanging out with some old friends. So
it was just a pleasure trip. That
it was just a pleasure trip. Yes, I'm a hedonist.
And where do you live the rest of the year?
I'm in Chicago. Oh, okay. Very cold. City.
I'm not familiar. What's a hedonist?
Hedonist is somebody who seeks pleasure. It's like, you know, constant, a pleasure seeker who just...
Caligula was a hedonist.
I'm still not familiar. Like a
Burning Man in one word.
How are you pursuing this out here?
Girls.
Like sweet, steamy, sweaty piles of them? Or like...
So have you been to the Palms in West Hollywood yet?
No, I haven't. Okay. No. Yeah. But
it's a good stop.
No, actually, I am. I'm not pursuing girls. I'm just hanging out with a good friend and drinking Johnny Walker Black Label on a regular basis and having a good time.
Because that's what really in the coffee cup was just to get you going was the Johnny Walker Black.
Yes, exactly.
That's why she needed the coffee when she came in. She still hadn't gotten the coffee. It's all just Johnny Walker Black. Delicious.
Alert, alert, alert. The Facebook price is now $41.
All right.
So someone is now up 15%. Is that how that about that where that would be?
Let's see, 38.
No, it's not even that much.
No, it's like 8.5%.
Oh man, it's not even worth buying stock. Have you been following this Facebook IPO offering at all?
I probably couldn't afford it, so I haven't been following it.
That was the consensus in this room. Yes.
Yeah, fuck rich people is where we're at. Like, we're not buying any of that.
I just like my privacy invaded. I'm all for Facebook.
It is a wonderful service for that.
Yeah.
It's also good for like people that you used to know that you managed to get rid of, for them to be able to find a way of catching up with you again.
Yeah, and then they send you pictures of their baby.
Oh, man.
I don't really
all
care
I pretty much see
baby.
On Facebook these days is someone's posted another picture of their baby. Okay.
If I ever have a baby, I'm going to like hide it for the first 15 years or something on Facebook, and then I'll just show up with like a 15-year-old next to me. It'll be like, wow, that happened. I'll be like, cause I can keep secrets, yo.
Do you really think you're going to be able to stop your child at 8 years old from starting their own Facebook page?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to let that kid do shit until they're 18 or they can like pay me back. You don't want to be my baby is where I'm basically coming at with that.
I want to be your baby.
You do? It's not a good idea. Yeah. Okay, so I actually have bought into stocks before, and I got to say, it's never really worked out for me.
No.
Like, I've never actually ended up ahead. I'm not even sure how people do. You even know how it works?
How do you win? Like,
I guess you sell it for more than you buy it?
That is the principle of this. That's brilliant. I'm glad you were able to grasp that part of it.
It's not buy low, sell low. That's probably...
Yeah, buy low and sell lower. That's the way to go.
I don't think that's the way you
winning work. Strategy every time.
But I mean, how do you get it to work? Because it seems like when you buy it, it gets cheaper.
I think money. our demographic, our age range, our generation is so hooked on having a much more instant gratification. Our grandparents and parents, when they invested in companies, knew that that was going to be something they would have for years. And over those years, you should see that company's stock value grow because the company itself is growing in value. What happened for us, like when I had 150 shares of Disney stock that was given to me by my parents, it was like I was constantly looking to see, when am I going to be able to get the most for my money? And it's like, I then left it alone because after a point, you're just like, you can't really fathom it. You're like, and then the taxes you end up having to pay on it really complicate everything at the end of the year. It really isn't as much fun as they make it seem. I mean, with all these little stock traders that you can get online.
Dude,
and
that talking baby makes it look like it's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Talking babies make us think everything's awesome. So.
Or talking cats work well, too.
And geckos.
Yep. Geckos. It's a good little plug. Gecko who changes his accent, you know.
It just seems like it's kind of a sucker's bet. I don't know how you actually make money on it. Like, you have to pay a lot of money when you want your money.
You have to own a company that goes public, I think, is really the way I get.
Yeah, that part sounds good.
That's really the only people who are making money today.
But there's just tons of people out there who are like, oh, take my money so you can make your company bigger, and then I don't even think they make money in the end.
I don't think
so. Well, the way so many companies are like screwing over stockholders and these days, it almost seems like, I think that's another reason our generation shies away from it.
Mm-hmm. We've lost a tremendous amount of trust in the banking and investment industry. Right. Even though there's so many people in our own age range that do well at it because the system is so set to make them receive something from it, while the rest of us are like shoveling our money into it, hoping that maybe we'll get that back someday. So. Wow, really deep subject for Fuck Around Friday.
Yeah, but we're turning it very superficially.
Yes.
In our defense.
In our defense.
We're not getting too deep into it.
Well, I think our generation doesn't really care that much because we've been out doing other things. Sitting at a desk and looking at your stocks, that's not what we do.
It seems post pictures of our babies on Facebook. That's what we do.
Yeah, that's what we do.
That's
exactly
what we're doing.
That's exactly what we're doing.
And I have some asparagus growing on my farm right now, my virtual farm, that is very nice, too. I'm really good at growing fake things, manufacturing Like,
dude, I am a tycoon and hemp tycoon.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Did you say you're a hemp tycoon?
Hemp.
Like, oh, I thought you said like hepatitis B.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
I'm a Hep B tycoon.
That's right.
Like, well, that's fascinating.
No, but that new game, Hep Tycoon, where all you're doing is growing new and different brands of marijuana.
I've just been, you know, I've been in LA in just a couple days, and I haven't seen the marijuana, the pharmaceutical, the little hemp.
The dispensary.
How have you managed to avoid it?
I don't know. I just haven't.
You haven't visited it, or you just haven't seen one?
I haven't seen one yet.
Oh,
and yeah. You're just not looking because
maybe I should get something for my broken foot while I'm here.
It would definitely help.
Excellent painkiller.
There is
exactly.
A dispensary right downstairs,
like, okay. Literally in eight floors
building.
Below.
You walked right past one this morning, so I know that you've seen them.
Okay, well,
I think what she's saying is she hasn't seen the green cross like most of these dispensaries.
Did
like
you know there was a green cross?
Oh, it's sort of like a religious thing?
Well, no, like the Red Cross. You know, the
is it an emergency?
No. This is a Green Cross saying, this is where we sell medicine that's herbal. It's green. It's good. Come see us. So it looks like the Red Cross symbol, but it's in green instead. That's the one I always see whenever I see
a
dispensary.
It's like in Amsterdam. They have the little thing in the window that looks like a scuba diver's flag. That means that they have it there.
What I love about 420, you know, the day that everybody smokes pot at 420.
And the time that everybody smokes pot.
Yeah, it's just always like, it's like potheads saying like, oh, let's do a protest. And they're like, we'll smoke pot. We'll show them. Like that's their big protest. Like, we'll smoke pot. We'll stick it to them. This is how we're organizing. We'll just smoke more pot. That's what we'll do. That's how we'll organize.
You must have been hanging out at the Occupy movement then, because that was their main tactic. There's no doubt.
I actually did go to the Occupy movement just in Chicago.
Did you make it down there yourself? Like before you broke your foot walking around?
I did.
What was it like?
A lot of screaming people, a lot of angry people. I just felt, you know, I just like to be there for the presence of it. And it just makes you feel like you're taking part, you know. Uh-huh. So
I went down to the L.A. one, and it was pretty crazy. It was like, I felt like I was Pinocchio, and I had just shown up on Pleasure Island.
Speaking of hedonism, I mean, honestly, that's what he described it when he was going down there. It's just a bunch of hedonists hanging out in tents and...
having sex, like,
I didn't see that. This was like the very beginning when I was there. So it was just like a little bit more organized, a little bit less, you know, lawless, like a little bit more purposeful.
Right. All the hippies and all the homeless hadn't quite gotten there yet. They were like, they were hearing about it, how there was this magical place where they could go get food. Because that's how it worked in LA. You started off with all the people who wanted to really occupy, and then all the hippies and all the homeless moved right in.
Yeah, they just went over to like the real Skid Row, not the studio, but they went over to the real Skid Row and like, hey, we got some food. Like, come make our numbers look bigger. And they just brought them over, and it was an awful, lawless, stinky place. I really felt like Pinocchio. Like, why would you ever leave here? It's just sex and free food and weed, and people are smoking it on the steps of City Hall. Like, I'm beating you. And you're right. That is their. That was their big protest move.
Right,
that
right.
We can smoke and you can't tell us no. Damn ridiculous. Okay, so one thing we always like to do here on Grand Theft Audio, we like to tell you there's all sorts of stupid, superfluous, ridiculous holidays that are celebrated every day. It's not just Christmas and Valentine's Day, which have their own kind of stupid things about them.
The nation and the world like to recognize specific days every day.
So here's what we got today. Today is Endangered Species Day.
Yes.
So if you see like a condor or something
ocelot,
like that,
give it a hug.
Yeah,
give it a hug.
Hug your white rhino.
Yes, it's Hug Your White Rhino Day.
It's Hug Your White Rhino Day, yeah.
You know, it's if you really want to hug your white rhino, you can celebrate.
Oh, no. I don't want to hear about your white rhino.
Well, I better get away from this one because it's going to get nasty. How about HIV Vaccine Awareness Day? Are you aware that there's a vaccine for HIV? I don't think there is. So what the fuck are we celebrating? Is there a vaccine for
HIV? I know that they've been working on one, but
I don't think it exists. If it was, there'd just be orgies in the street, right?
It has to exist because you don't know about it and they're trying to get you aware of it.
Yeah, you're right.
It's celebrated for the first time today.
And dude,
I think HIV vaccine, I mean, if you think about it, it's just like, giving another reason not to practice safe sex.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's one of the biggest arguments in regards to a vaccine being created.
Right.
And why the gay community is so upset, because they, well, wait a second. What about finding a cure first? Because we already got it. Why are you making a vaccine to help everybody else stop having it?
Right.
So
okay, yeah. couple of things. There is no vaccine. It's just that you should be aware that you want one. Like, that's wonderful. Like, sometimes I'm aware I want a sandwich, but I'm not going to have a day to be like.
Actually, there probably is a sandwich awareness day.
I want a broken foot vaccine. That's what I want.
We'll work on that for you. How about a more pleasant one? Today is I Love Reese's Day.
Reese's Pieces?
Pieces, peanut butter cups.
Oh, I'm after we're done here, I'm going Reese's.
I will have to do that. Are you a Reese's fan?
Sure. I like the peanut butter cups. I don't like the things that E.T. ate. He ate the little
Reese's pieces.
Yeah. I was more of the peanut butter cup fan.
Need some chocolate.
Do you like the multiple sizes? Have you tried the little mini ones, the tiniest ones they make?
Yeah, usually when I try the mini ones, it's a girl thing. Oh, I'll just have one. And then you're like, oh, just another one. I didn't have that many. And then you have four, and it's like a regular one.
And the problem is then you wind up going through the entire bag, so you've eaten four regular size
exactly.
Peanut butter cups. Awesome.
Okay, best Reese's they make. For Valentine's Day, they make a heart that's roughly about the size, like, heart you can make with your hands, and you put your fingers together into a curl and made the heart. It's pretty big. The best thing about it, though, is it has really thick chocolate on it. And I don't know what it is. I love the Reese's chocolate. I would just eat the Reese's chocolate and throw away the peanut butter.
That's who I'm going to have a date with next Valentine's Day. I'm going to have a date with that chocolate heart.
Yeah. It's good.
Usually I have a date with a cupcake. But, you know, this year I'll do a date with a chocolate heart.
I did a new thing with the Reese's this year. I went camping and we did it in a s'more instead of a chocolate. You put Reese's in there with the marshmallow and the...
That actually sounds pretty awesome.
It was dynamite.
Totally would eat that. I bet they don't sell it here, though. It's also International Museum Day. So I guess if you're off in a foreign country listening to us this morning.
Yeah.
I'm gonna head over to, where did I see it? Museum of Death. Where is that? It's in Silver Lake, I believe.
Really? So it's close. It's something we can do?
No, Hollywood. It's in Hollywood by the Rock and Tommy's there.
We did a story a couple weeks ago about the Museum of Racism, but it's in Michigan. And I'm like, I'm not going to go to Michigan to go do that. But if I could just go down to Hollywood to go to the Museum of Death, I would totally check that out.
The Museum of Racism, I thought that was in the South.
One would think that's where it would wind up, but no, Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, right outside of Detroit. And it celebrates all like the old blacks only entrance, whites only drinking fountains. Like
it celebrates
really?
That.
It does. It really does.
It's a whole separate but equal museum.
Yeah.
It only lets certain people into the museum. Discriminates against others. It charges like different races, different amounts of money.
Well, exactly. But those different races get to go into a section where it's all the black racist stuff against the white people. They get to go and celebrate that.
That's right. That's got to feel good.
I mean, like, they get to celebrate it too.
If you're used to being like subjugated your entire life and you see all these signs from other places where white people are lesser than black people, then that probably feels pretty good. That's got to be worth $15.
So it does celebrate the other side.
It sure does.
Okay. What do you know of any cultures where there's the whites are more discriminated against than people with darker than skin?
I think in India.
Well, I guess there is a little bit of like when you're a white tourist, like in India, you'll definitely be like ransacked by a bunch of like beggars who just want to like
the untouchables.
People who want to like play upon your naivete and be like, hey, we want to take you on a tour. And then they just want to take all your money and maybe your passport.
If you are a white tourist in India, you will definitely be ransacked.
I don't know. It just depends. Like if you're in a large city and some people want to take advantage of you, they'll just be like, oh, look, this guy's got money. Let's harass him a little bit and take some of it.
There's a little of that in Mexico, too.
It's all over the world, man. I mean,
yeah.
Okay, the Canadians are the worst.
Of course.
Every time I go up to Canada, a bunch of little kids running up and going, oh, let us show you around our cities. They're so clean. They're so wonderful.
Wow, they have those accents, too. Interesting.
That's what all Canadians sound like to me. That's what they all.
Well,
clicks and whistles.
Speaking of accents, it's NASCAR Day.
Oh, well, so, damn.
Hell yeah. I got me my Dale Jr. stickers. Man, I hate that NASCAR stuff. It's the worst.
Man, that's a joyous summer.
Is NASCAR big in Chicago?
No, it's not.
That seems like a pretty safe bet that it wouldn't be. It seems like it's a cooler town than that. Again, that seems like it's popular in Fontana.
Fontucky.
Yeah. I mean, you have to have a certain mindset to think that cars going around in circles for hours and hours sounds wonderful. Okay, today is also National Pizza Party Day.
But you guys didn't bring me pizza. Hey, I come in here. If it's National Pizza Party Day, we should be celebrating.
We didn't yesterday what today was going to be. We're telling everybody what today is. Because if we had known, we probably would have ordered a pizza.
Okay, well then after I leave, I definitely need a pizza.
DiGiorno.
Okay, here's why we don't read things in advance. Because today is also Visit Your Relatives Day.
Visit my relatives.
Yeah.
Do I have to?
if you get a pizza party, you have to visit your relatives.
Okay, I'll visit my relatives. I'll go all the way across the world.
Well, is that worth a pizza party to you? Because I will spring for the $5 special from Little Caesars.
Will you spring for the $3,000 ticket to India? Because I don't really think I want to see my relatives.
I'll tell you this much. We're going to have more than a pizza party if that is what becomes expected to get $3,000 out of me. I choose the toppings. Okay, so if you think that we should be smart and plan ahead, here's the things that you could celebrate this weekend. It's Artichoke Day on Saturday. Love artichokes.
Me too.
Yeah,
I have myself an artichoke.
Maybe here's one that I guarantee you're not celebrating. Boys Club Day.
No, I'm not celebrating Boys Club Day. I'm actually in Boys Club Day. I am celebrating it. This is your Boys Club, and I'm here being a part of it.
So we have other bitches through here sometimes.
You have bitches here?
I mean, Boys Club. We're not a Boys Club.
Well, I feel like I'm part of it. I'm just like with the guys. Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you. Okay, so there's also some other weird ones. It's this weekend is the Preakness Stakes. It starts off the second
leg of the Triple Crown.
So it's National Silly Hat Saturday. That's how it's tied into it because people do wear those stupid
those
ass
ridiculous
hats
ass hats.
Silly Hat Saturday.
Silly Hat Saturday.
Yeah. I'm going to a Pink Floyd concert. Well, actually, Roger Waters. Excuse me.
they can't confuse the two.
No. It's not the same music and the same writers or anything. So I get to wear a silly hat to the wall.
Yeah, that is pretty exciting. Dude, that's going to be a great show, man. I can't believe I don't get to go do that because we're going to be down Saturday night at the Westside Comedy Theater in Santa Monica. We have Supna, and we also have Brian Scolaro and Eric Griffin from Workaholics. And it's a crazy lineup. We're super excited to have it. We'll play like a commercial for it in a minute. I just got distracted at our next guest coming in. And I guess that's our holidays. And we have Joe's birthday. Today's Joe's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Joe. Thank you. A nice big holiday.
Yeah,
that's
pizza
the biggest
party
holiday
day.
Of the day.
It's pizza party day.
Yes, it is.
Pizza party,
sake.
Pizza party. Uh-oh, Facebook is now down to 39 again.
Oh, shit.
Oh
no,
oh,
somebody
shit.
Lost
I gotta,
some money.
I got to sell. I got to sell, man.
Sell now, Ronnie, sell now.
We're up a dollar. Let's sell what we can.
I don't even think, can you buy and sell the same stock in the same day? Like how?
Oh, you could do it at 15 minutes to clear or something like that.
But, I mean, everything's like settled up at the end of the day, right? So there wouldn't be much of a point. I mean, if you buy something at 10 a.m. and you sell it at 1 p.m., is the price actually different or is it based upon?
It can be different. And if the price is higher and you sell it at 1 o'clock, but then at 10 o'clock or at 4 o'clock when they close, it has dropped back down. You still sold it at that top price because you had somebody who was willing to buy it up here. What you're basically doing is you're sending out a trade. You say, I want to trade this to somebody who's willing to pay this price for this stock. And if it goes down, that person loses and you've come out a winner because you had it and sold it up here.
So it's just a bunch of people trying to fuck each other, basically.
We're back to hedonism again.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Back to Occupy.
I drink your milkshake is basically the whole theory there, right? I think that's where we're at. Hey, we got to go to our second break. This is we're going to play a track from our band of the week from last week that we didn't get to go through. So this is Maybe Nothing from The Future Sound in 1989.
The Future in 1989.
Yeah. What are they called?
The Future in 1989.
There's no sound in there?
There's no sound.
I don't know. I'm retarded or something today. Fuck Around Friday. We'll be right back. That's The Future in 1989. You should check out their album, available on iTunes. Hey, we want to also give you a little bit more of the interview from with Carl Kozlowski and Rick Nahara, who has his big benefit show coming up tonight. You can find tickets at just Tix, TIXX.com. Carlos Alazakari. It's an incredible lineup. You've heard me pimp it out all week, so check out the rest of this interview, and we'll be back on the other side.
So, how did In Living Color come about? And you mentioned it didn't sound. You mentioned like in passing earlier, but it sounded like it wasn't the most positive experience, or I don't know.
In a lot of ways, it was. It was a great experience. It was very positive. It was just the environment for all of us there. I think everyone was going through problems. I mean, Jim Carrey was getting divorced. Jamie Foxx was just starting out. Jennifer Lopez, she was this flag girl that wanted to act. She told me that. And I wrote her a monologue one day. And I remember Keenan was like, nah, she can't act and you can't act. You're supposed to write. And it was a pressure place. Everyone was under pressure to achieve and to do great. And that's the way they ran the world. And to me, it was great because Keenan was so great to me. Keenan was very good to me and gave me my first job in the business, significant job. And I'll always thank him for it. David Saltzman gave my next big comedy break. Certain people really have done great things for me, and I'm very grateful. But Living Color was pressure. It was pressure always to be funny, always to come up with a joke, always do something. And it never went away. So we'd be there till like 3 in the morning. Sometimes I wouldn't go home. I'd actually get a hotel room because I was too tired to drive.
Wow.
It was that tough.
Huh, that's crazy. So, that show's more famous for the multitude of black actors and then Jim Carrey on there. So, did you have a hard time getting your material on the show, or were you able to just, or were you, was it easier than it might seem?
It was more, you got smart enough to, like, they brought, I was supposed to really, really write for Tommy Davidson when they first brought me on. And, Tommy went on vacation, so he was off the show for a little short time. Uh-huh. And I would start to learn who to write for. I would just look around. Jim Carrey had a writer on the show. Steve Odekirk was a friend of his. He got on the show. So Steve would say, hey, we got to write for Jim. And this person would say, hey, we got to write for this person. And so a lot of times you start to figure out what actor it is, and then you start to write accordingly. You'll figure out who to work for. I worked with Robert Schimmel. He was there. So we might team together on a sketch. And then you're pitching sketches constantly. It was the amount of work you would do and the amount of writing was insane. It was insane how many sketches you'd write. Because you might write 30 sketches that week, some amazing amount of number. And maybe one would get on the air. Mm. And if you did that, that's pretty good numbers. So it's constantly getting a sketch on. The sketch would be removed. One time I wrote a sketch for Jim Carrey. It was a guy that was a air traffic controller who really wanted to be a psychologist. So anytime a pilot would want to land, he would, go on this thing about, why do you want to land? How'd your parents treat you? And the guys would be, I'm out of fuel. I got to go. No, you're not going to land until you get a breakthrough. And it was a funny sketch, but they built a big area, and then Jim loved physical comedy. It wasn't a very physical sketch, so he didn't necessarily want to do that. So you'd have to learn to go, okay, would Jim write physical? Would this person write this way? And it's true of any writer who works on any comedy show. But it was it was extremely pressure filled. It wasn't like we were all laughing and going, "This is the most fun we've ever had." Wow! It was like this better be good. This better be funny.
Wow. That was the feeling.
Listening to Skid Row Studios.
You're 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 listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe. Okay.
are listening to Grand Theft Audio Radio with Jake Belcher and Brant Thoman.
All right, you are right on time. This is Grand Theft Audio with Jake Belcher.
And Brant Thoman, and we're at the top of the second hour here at SkidRowStudios.com.
So we got a big crew in the house today. First of all, we have our guest host for the day, Mr.
What was it? Snotty McBooger?
Snotty McBoogerballs.
That's me. Snotty McBoogerballs.
Or you can just call him Joe if you want to. The Joe-roo, like the guru, whatever you want to call it. We have Sapna Kumar, who has been kind enough to continue on her weird journey, I'm sure, with us so far this morning.
Oh, no. You've been kind enough to have me.
Well, we've appreciated having you.
It was nice to be had, right?
And the guy who doesn't know that you don't talk until you're introduced, even though he's heard us say it to about 100-something guests in the past, ladies and gentlemen, our entertainment correspondent, Mr. Carl Kozlowski.
Hello. Hooray! Hooray!
Carl, he's our man. If he can't do it, I don't know.
Go see yourself. Somebody else can.
Pretty much.
Yeah. For our listeners who remember last time you came in, I did that awful over the top thing that just kept going and going.
I know.
And going.
Yeah. I was like,
he loved it. He was blushing by the end of it.
I was.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah. So, Carl's come in here to talk to us about movies and all this other stuff. But I want to know what's up with that shirt, homie. He's got this shirt on that has like a fist coming up out of the middle and it says home. Like, what is that?
It's from John Leguizamo, my hero as far as storytelling. I got this. This is the shirt he wears on his last tour. He wears it at every show and they sell them. So,
I totally thought.
I went to the Rick Nahara thing. I figure, you know, there's going to be all Latinos there too. So, hey.
And you will be wearing the same thing right now that you wear tonight when you go out this evening, right?
Because I got to go to Pasadena, go work, go to a dentist. Get back to Hollywood, pretty much. Probably don't have time.
Thanks for updating us about your mundane day.
Yeah, Carl, that's what Facebook is for, okay?
Oh, that's the past, the snoring part of it. But yeah, that would be about 3/4 of my day.
Do you ever roll around with like another shirt in a bag? And then, like, before you go out that evening?
Yeah, sometimes. But what? I mean, it fits the show.
But it fits the show.
It fits the show.
Yeah.
It fits the show.
The great place to wear it.
I'm saying it's a Latino comedy hero. I'm going to a Latino comedy event.
Tonight, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm sure I'm dressed for whatever it is I'm doing tonight as well. Like, is anybody gonna stay
going
to stay?
Are you going to like a biker beach bar?
That's where I usually hang out. Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. I like to change and stuff.
So
Jake's got a bandana on his head and a leather vest.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a sleeveless leather jacket.
This is very lesbian of you, by the way. It's like, you could have rode in.
Wow. Like, you're ready for Harley, like, Dykes on bikes over there.
I will eat pussy all night. I mean, I have no fear about
I'm with
that.
You on that. I think that's also very fun.
Yeah. I'm down with that. Cool.
I mean, that's good living.
It is. Low calorie.
The lowest calorie pie you can eat.
Vegetarian.
It's like a taste great, less filling. I mean, it's got all that stuff going for it.
I actually saw a porn that was a lesbian porn called Vegetarians. It was called Vegetarians.
The first lesbian I became friends with about 20 years ago in college, she had a bumper sticker that said, "I'm a vegetarian." And that's just pop back into my head now.
Do you remember what the storyline to it was? Because like lesbian porn has storyline, right?
The storyline. I don't really remember. All I know is that the sex was good because it was lesbian made for lesbians. It was like.
Definitely right. Has a
so
story.
So it was a little bit less fake sex than you see in like male porn where like the women like, don't really like being together.
Like, what's the set? Is it like after the farmer's market in the back of the van?
They're like, get the cats off the bed! Get the cats off the bed! Clean this cat lint off. We want to have sex.
Did you see The Kids Are All Right?
Oh, yeah.
Movie about a lesbian couple?
Yeah.
Okay. In the movie, there's something I never understood. The two ladies, Annette Bening and Julianne Moore, they're a longtime 20-year-plus lesbian couple with kids. And yet, when they're on their little private time, they choose to watch gay male porn.
Well, see, what's I don't think there's anything to... I mean, like, that's not representative of all lesbians. It's a movie.
It's not?
Oh. It's a movie, but I personally find gay male sex really hot. I don't know why. Straight sex, I don't really get into, but gay male sex, there's something really hot. I think it's because of the aggressiveness of it. Like, I was just talking to my friend about it. It's just like, we want to fuck and we're going to go for it. Should I say that here? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, so it's, I think there's something about that.
What's your take on that, Carl, with the gay male porn?
What is? No, I don't know. That's no opinion. I just thought the movie was confusing.
He likes the aggressiveness of it.
Hold on. Don't let Carl off the hook here. What do you mean you have no opinion? No one says shit until, Carl, what is your opinion of gay porn?
It's not my thing as a straight man. So, but I mean, I don't watch regular porn really either. So I don't know.
Never going to do it either way. Lesbian porn?
Well, two women. So once in a while, I guess if it happens to be there. Yeah,
oh,
sure.
If somebody makes me do it, I guess I'll watch some lesbian sex. I hate being forced to do things.
No, I never got into the whole, let's watch a guy blow a load. I mean, what's that about? That's
blow
me
a load?
Kind of
that
a gay...
sounds like he's going to the bathroom. I don't even know what that means. What is that?
You were telling me a story yesterday about some awful porn.
Yeah. Okay. So there's this guy. I can't believe I'm doing this. But anyway. Okay. So.
And now it's time for Carl's porn review.
Carl doesn't really go for that stuff.
Well, I'm not saying I'm a prude, I guess. I don't know. I never got into it. I don't know. I don't judge. If you're into it, you're into it. Whatever. But there's this friend of mine in the building that I live in who works for a major, I don't know if they're major, but I don't want to say who they are. I don't want to give them away. But
Carl didn't say it. But
pretty big.
No, I won't say it.
Did you say?
No, I can, but I won't.
I'd rather not. I don't know. I could get in trouble. I don't know because he walked out with this stuff. So basically, his job. I thought he was just on the distribution end, making sure you know how many tapes go to where and whatever. But
you're boring me. Tell me what was he happening. Yeah.
What he actually does is also he screens the movies that come through and has to mark them for objectionable content. I'm like, well, what's objectionable to a porn place? And he said this company has certain standards that, even though they're very extreme in other ways. And he got this tape from a guy named Nacho. He said Nacho something.
Nacho Vidal.
Nacho Vidal is the name of a porn director. And he's like going, oh, man, you wouldn't believe this thing. And he's just like, it's 90 minutes long, this scene, and at least half the movie, this woman gets, you know, they make it look like she's abducted, tied up, and they just beat the hell out of her, suffocate her for like 20 minutes. They're beating her, and then they have sex with her. And I'm like, really, you like that? And he's like, oh, it's hilarious. I'm like, really? And this is a guy that...
It's hilarious?
He thinks that's hilarious. He
goes, I'm going to start crying. Like, that's like so depressing.
That is dark.
That
I know.
Is
and yet
misogynistic.
This guy loves film noir, goes to Kings games, will give me a ride
that's a bloodthirsty sport.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah. And film noir, a lot of people die. Okay. He's sick all the way around, I guess. I don't know, man. I was just like, wow, people really want to see that? But
unfortunately,
that company
there are
down.
People who really want to see that. So that's
well,
why
even
it's
his company turned it down. He had to report it, and they're like, well, hey, get that out of here. And so he took it home for his own pleasure, I guess.
Well, I'm glad some porn has standards because, like, they actually turned it down.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have heard about this lesbian for lesbian porn, though, that it is supposed to be much more like realistically gentle.
Not gentle. Oh, my God. Not gentle. That's the thing. The lesbian sex scenes in movies are always so gentle. And then like lesbians are always like, why don't they show us have sex like we actually have, like, you know, like.
To the wrist, Bernice.
You know, show them really into it. Show them like they're actually enjoying it. Not like they're like, oh, let's heavy pet each other.
We'll always be 18.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Where do you think mainstream porn really gets it the wrongest, though?
Because it's guys making stuff for guys.
It's guys making stuff for guys, yeah. And it's always like these women who just really don't want to be... I mean, they obviously...
They're getting paid to be there, and yeah. So they'll do it because of the paycheck.
But. Yeah, and they just look so uncomfortable. Whores.
But are the lesbians in the lesbian-made porn, are they like these pneumatically perfect models the way that the men do it? Or are they...
Well, the ones I've seen, they actually are kind of fit. But, you know, I'm sure there's other stuff out there with
are there mullets
natural-looking women.
Bullets? Any mullets?
There are no mullets. Stop, Carl.
Okay.
You can't stop Carl. You can only hope to distract him. So, Carl, you're coming in to do some movie reviews today. What opens today that's worth seeing?
Let's see.
Okay, what? Today's openings are...
Well, actually, I saw The Dictator, so I could add that in. That opened on Wednesday.
Okay, we'll count that. Yeah.
We'll count that. What, did you see What to Expect when you're expecting?
You know, I actually... this is how big a wuss I am. I actually wanted to see that more than Battleship, but they were both conflicting on Monday night, and my
You went to Battleship instead. Yeah. So, Battleship. So the Navy takes on an entire alien invasion. How is it, man?
I call it a big, bold blast. That's what it says in the paper.
A great summertime movie, Carl Kozlowski. That's amazing. You got your name in the paper. No, I'm just kidding.
What did you use as your headline for it in the paper?
Victory at Sea is what Kevin gave it. I called it something cheesy. I forgot what it was. I can't remember what my headline was, damn it. But no, it's dumb fun. It is. I said if you're worried about, you know, thinking or preserving brain cells, go see pretty much anything else. But it does the job. It's not. I hate the Transformers movies. It's sort of like that in a way because the alien spaceship, you know, keeps, you know, transforming all the time and all. But it's actually pretty fun. I mean, they have some decently clever writing and a couple good performances to boot, although Liam Neeson is completely to waste in it. He's like the commander. And then all he does is
stare at wolves and he's like, I'm gonna get those wolves to give you back my daughter.
Exactly, yes. And so
I like how you combine them all three into one. That's someday. Awesome. Yeah.
No, so he appears in the first few minutes just to yell at the guy who's gonna be the hero, who happens to be the guy who played John Carter in the notorious flop earlier in the year. He's actually pretty good. His name's Taylor Kitsch. He's good in this one. So he might still have a career ahead of him. But
he can't be blamed for taking a role in an awful movie like
that. Yeah, you're
that,
right.
So.
You're right.
I don't give a shit about that guy. I don't know who he is.
But Liam disappears after like 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
Liam.
Like for an hour. I'm like, where the hell is Liam Neeson? I don't know where they just showed like looking at a radar screen from the land on land and screaming, get the planes out there. And then he disappears again for an hour. And then he's like watching planes fly over an hour later.
Had for 3 days
and he's like,
shooting,
finally, there they go, or something like that. And then he's there in the last 2 minutes to hug the guy that, you know, saved the day.
Okay, I'm glad you told me all about the role.
I'm just saying
it's
so stupid. He's the one actor anybody knows. And, you know, then Rihanna's in there. She runs and shoots okay.
Oh, wait, you mean everything comes out okay? There's hugs at the end?
Well, imagine that. I'll give it away. No,
I don't need to go see it.
There's
sweet.
A couple of really.
Talk at one time. Listen to each other. Sorry. Talk at one time. Sorry. Don't just be a fucking freight train going through everything and not taking in any input. Someone here needs to learn a lesson, and I'm going to take a ruler and I'm going to slap him in the hand.
All right,
just keep fucking talking. Hey, Carl, how you doing, man?
Right, you don't own me.
So, Rihanna was okay.
Yeah, she runs and shoots cute, and that's about it. And, you know, doesn't really have anybody cooking.
Not enough Liam Neeson.
Yeah, but on the upside, I don't want to say how or why because it's actually pretty fun and clever. A bunch of old men save the day. And so if I can't imagine any grandpas listening to this, but grandpas and take your grandkids, this is the movie of the year for grandpas to take their grandkids to.
Or grandkids who maybe are listening.
Or vice versa.
Can suggest it to their grandpas.
I actually may have a grandfather listening to this right now.
Oh, really?
If I talked to Rita, she probably called her dad and said, oh, Joe's on the radio. And he was in the Navy. And
he will love this movie.
All right.
Go
see the movie.
Yeah, Carl Old Men Save the Day in a lot of ways. It's great.
Okay, so Carl, last week you got to go see Dark Shadows.
And awful.
You said so. So now I've heard mixed reviews. I've had some friends who said that it's really good. Unfortunately, the ending is where it really kind of falls apart. But what was the entire thing for you just something that just wasn't fun, or was there anything redeeming about it in your mind?
Well, it looks good, like any Tim Burton movie. But the first 30, 40 minutes are pretty fun. It starts out like it's a serious horror movie the first 10 minutes. And you're like, whoa, that's intense. Then it becomes funny, like the Addams Family, for about a half hour. But the problem is they set it up like it's going to be a battle between Johnny Depp and this witch who now has survived also through the years. And they're competing fishery businesses, which is a weird twist. I don't know if the original TV show was centered on a family with a fishery, but that's what they own here. And then after half an hour, when they have this funny montage where they fix his business up, they're ready to compete, and then they don't go anywhere with that the whole rest of the movie. It's like the last hour has nothing to do with the rest of it. It's not funny anymore.
It seems like it's kind of a running thing with Tim Burton films, though. Like, he just doesn't seem to know how to wrap them up and make them in. Like, the ending of Alice in Wonderland was just atrocious. Mm-hmm. The ending of Big Fish, the ending of I didn't like the way his best film to me, Edward Scissorhands. Like, even that ended in a disappointing fashion. He does a great job of building up something, but I don't think he knows what to do with it once he gets it.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is probably the one that probably did it the best, but that's he's working off of someone else's work to begin with. He really was just interpreting that. So,
you guys have a lot of deep ideas about these films. I'm like, ooh, pretty pictures. Look at them. They're also dressed up with this fun costumes. Like, nothing.
Well, what's your favorite?
Plot just goes over my head. I'm like, oh, that was pretty. That was fun.
Well, what's been your most recent favorite pretty picture film?
Pretty picture film?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I just haven't seen any Disney movies lately.
What is the last thing?
What's the lesbian porn?
I've just been busy watching Vaginitarians on repeat.
See, now there's a difference. Like, I bet a lesbian can watch like the same porn twice.
What are you talking about? What are these weird stereotypes?
I can't watch the same porn twice anymore. Like, I live in a world where there's so much of it. It's just like, why would I bother seeing the same scene twice?
This is true. This is true. But when your choices are limited.
Yeah, I know. So you have to kind of put up with more and be like, okay, I can mentally get myself back into this scene.
I liked her tattoo. I'll watch that again.
Okay, no, really. off the porn tip. Like, what is the most recent movie you paid for to see in a theater?
Oh my gosh, I feel so horrible. Like, it's been so, you're gonna die. You're gonna laugh so hard because I honestly haven't gone to the movies in over a year. I went to Midnight in Paris, and that's the last film I saw.
Great movie.
I haven't gone in like over a year. I just watch movies at home or on the computer.
It's one of those technologies that's gonna be defunct in 20 years. Yeah. I mean, no one's gonna go out to see a big screen TV movie there when you'll be able to get it at home for the same price as you would pay to go there.
Carl looks like incredulously like that can't be true.
No, I agree. It's just sad. I hate hearing that. I mean, but it probably is true to some extent. But I mean,
it will continue to survive at a level. But
I think people will always go out to the movies, except for me. I'm in my cave.
Now, is that like a euphemism?
I know. I was just wondering.
Euphemism? My cave?
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about my own vagina. I'm not in my own cave.
You got where I was going with
there. I saw this picture of Madonna. My friend, I'm staying with him. He's got all these pictures of Madonna in his house. He, she's doing some sort of weird yoga exercise where she has her leg pulled over her head in a certain way, and it does look like she's trying to insert herself into her own cave. But but I don't live in my own cave.
A little self-spelunking?
A little self-spelunking, yeah.
So you're hanging out with your buddy in what, West Hollywood or in Silver Lake?
He lives in Culver City.
Oh, okay. Well,
they're branching out.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're branching out.
You sound just as full of compassion and understanding as your next movie covers. You also saw The Dictator, correct?
The Dictator was awesome. Yeah, that was very, very funny. Although, what it's lacking in comparison to his other movies is the element. There's some surprising scenes, but there isn't anything that's just like raw, like, whoa, I can't believe that happened. Like in Bruno. He took it a little too far, I think, at places. Although I like it more when I see it on cable, except for that stupid song at the end. But then Borat, I think he had just the right mix the whole way. And this one, he's doing a conventional storyline, and it's very funny. Some scenes are amazing.
So it doesn't have that man on the street feel that the other two kind of had. Which is, it seems like, that's what it seems like they were doing to begin with. You're right, it's kind of a shame that they didn't do a little something, like down in New York when he's working in the deli or something. But
I had a friend, I don't know if it was you or somebody else, said that they thought that there was stuff in the commercials that looked like it was the same technique as Borat, but I didn't see anything like it in the film.
I think a couple of those shots looked like they were random people that they were talking to, like, give me them, do you have any money I can borrow, like the $20 million dollars?
Maybe I have to pay a little more attention. It didn't seem that way at all, and the people were commenting on the way out like, oh, I thought he was gonna be playing pranks, but they still were liking it. So he's got a couple pretty there's an amazing scene that I won't go into detail, but that plays off of 9/11, that the whole place was just going crazy. I mean, the dialogue in it is hilarious.
So that's your pick of the week then?
Oh, yeah. Grandpa's go see Battleship, and kids might like it in general, and then otherwise see The Dictator. I can't judge expecting. It looks pretty good.
I think that'll be my next movie. I'm going to go see The Dictator.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Carl. That was quite a pitch.
Oh, okay.
I think she's fucking with you.
No, I'm serious. I think I'm going to go see it. I think I'm going to see it.
There you go.
Somebody I don't know what to think them. About Just... you, Supna. Still trying to figure you out.
Oh, I don't know. Well, you're like a lesbian on a motorbike over there. I'm still trying to figure you out.
You bring me Don Rickles here? What's going on? I haven't said anything to this chick without her being like, I'm going to dress you down every time. I'm going to start making fun of you.
We make fun of me. That's right. I like that.
What's that boot you've got on? Like you got a broken foot, girl? Like,
yeah, I got a broken foot. Yeah.
Well, how come no one signed it?
Yeah, nobody loves me because I'm always making fun of them.
It's very sad. If I got to sign it, I'd probably say like, you smell bad or something on there.
Aww.
That's what I would do.
Aww.
Well, that boot makes it look like, you look kind of like half the homeless people out on Skid Row around.
You certainly walk like they do.
When with the boot on, I try to pull the jean, my left leg up over my knees so I look really gangster because I have like one leg, pant leg down and one leg, pant leg up. So I try to do that.
And you got the
gangster
walk.
And I've already got the natural limp, so it sort of works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All you need is the teardrop tattoo under the eye. No one will fuck with you.
Exactly.
You look like you could kill someone in prison. I would believe the teardrop tattoo on you. God.
I am 5'1", by the way.
You're a scrapper, though. We can tell. You're a scrapper.
But, I mean, that's how you earn that tattoo, right? You have to, like, kill somebody in prison. I think that's what it's for. Is that incorrect?
It's killing in general.
I got rid of all mine.
Very smart
to
do.
Just to try and forget those days, huh?
Long 7 years, yeah.
I think I remember watching A Scared Straight, which is as deep into prison as I've really gotten. And I think that's what they said, like that you had to kill somebody to be able to get that. But it seems like a lot of dudes have that tattoo that probably didn't kill people.
A lot of murders out there. I don't know.
A lot of in-house murders. Maybe that's what it is. You had to kill somebody in jail.
I think that's kind of what the dealio is. But there's probably people who just get like it for killing people on the outside, which shouldn't even count.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Man.
No, you
man, that doesn't even count.
You don't get to tally that.
You don't. It doesn't count. You think you're tough? You wait till you get on the inside and kill someone. That's when you earn your stripes.
Cell block C.
That would suck if you did like one of those McDonald's massacres. You can't even get one teardrop because it was on the outside. Don't I get any credit? Yeah. Okay.
Gonna read something.
No, I was just seeing how long we could. I've never had a silent break on our show before. Like that was easily.
It was pregnant.
It was a pregnant pause. Yeah. It was a pinter play.
I feel like really. Maybe this next story explains what's happened here today. Looking at what we all have and we eat, there's a report that came out yesterday that says that eating sugar makes you stupid. It starts, it has shown that a steady diet of high fructose corn syrup has sapped lab rats' memories to the point that they think that actually eating regular sugar every day takes your intelligence down by about 30% of what it would be if you did not ingest any sugar at all.
Which I think is really funny because if you ever work in an office and like people are worn out, the people who run the office are always like, feeding their employees sugar. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, let's give them some more sugar. It's like, let's dumb them down and not make them feel bad that they have to stay here for hours and upon and on. We'll just give them sugar. So,
do you have a regular day job you have to go to when you're back at home?
I don't really have a job right now.
So what job gave you sugar all day? I've never encountered this magic.
You've never had this, where they're like, donuts, we brought in donuts, we brought in cake.
Employers, not in my place, I work in a hellhole.
Employers do not trust bringing that stuff out around Carl. It would be gone way too quick. Like other places
where
they don't have a Carl. Like that happens all the time. There's always ice cream parties and sugar everywhere.
The craziest temp gig I ever had, I used to temp a lot in Chicago, was at Sara Lee. Somebody sent me to Sara Lee.
What a mistake.
Oh, they looked at him walking in. They were like, shit, we've got to really hide the inventory.
I was like diabetic in a week.
Tell us, Carl, explain, like, what was in their fridge?
Everything. I mean, it was just, it was incredible. I mean, just like 30 different types of snack cakes and, then there was sodas.
Almond Danish rings.
It was good.
Donuts?
Sara Lee's a little more high-end than the donut, my friend.
It's a little bit more high-end. They're more like That's the classy stuff.
The pound cake and the Nutter bars and all those wonderful things.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I remember they actually had pie out. Like, several cheesecakes and pies were put out also for people to take a slice each morning.
Dang, dude, that's the dream.
It was.
I mean, have you thought about moving back, like, just hoping that you can actually... get that job again?
They never had me back after about the third day.
So oh my gosh, that's
up in the sky. Slippers, Charles. I never thought I'd see the day when I would face the world to say good morning.
I just could imagine Carl's little heart, like, so excited that he's got this golden ticket job where he can just go and eat all the sweets he wants.
The other coolest company to work for, if you ever in Chicago or any other city has a branch, Leo Burnett, the giant advertising agency, they had the Coca-Cola account, and I worked on that floor, or every floor had, like, fountain drinks, like, unlimited fountain drinks, and then they also had the Marlboro account. So if you worked that one, you had free cigarettes and you could smoke on that floor.
Fuck, dude, I want to work there. Like, so many jobs I've gone to, I've tried to gather up my coworkers and be like, yeah, if we all put in like 20, 30 bucks and we can just buy our own fountain drink machine and have our own drinks here all the time, but it never works. Like, because that's the dream.
Yep.
I don't have to walk across the street to get my drink. I like that.
We brought in vending machines into the Pasadena Weekly office. At one point, I don't know if that was while you were there.
It must have been after. Did they have them when you were there?
I would never allow that.
You would never allow.
Well, was this during John's regime?
I'm sorry, Dale, I think.
Okay.
And because it was when Julia was there. And I just remember that I paid for a bag of chips. And it was one of those times where it was like, fell far back into the pocket, you know, when you're reaching in. My arm got stuck.
Outrage.
My arm got stuck. I had to have two people help me ease my arm back out.
And then one of them with a thinner arm be able to reach in and grab the... Or was that the problem? You couldn't get your arm out because you hadn't let go of the bag. You're like, why can't I get it out? And they had let go of the bag, Carl. Oh,
pretty much.
Damn it.
No, I can't. Yeah, no, so about the next week it was gone. And I'm like, why? And they're like... And they're looking at
you
like,
obviously a liability.
We
can't afford you breaking this, Carl.
You've got your drink sitting on the jaws of life that they had to bring in to cut you out. And you're like, but why? Dang, Carl, you was crazy. Okay, so we got a couple minutes, a little bit left on our show. We're going to kind of do our week's worst stories in review. We're going to start off with Chris Matthews, who was on Jeopardy this week, had one of the worst days that a contestant has ever had and missed like the easiest questions ever. He ended up at one point being down $6,200. Now, this is a guy who spent most of the last 2 years saying Sarah Palin would embarrass herself if she went on Jeopardy. And then he goes there this week, and he totally bombs on it.
And it just certainly seemed like he just wasn't paying attention. He's so used to just reading a teleprompter and giving his opinion on what he's talking about that, like, it was very simple. Things like, what is the full name of this person?
And he didn't bother putting the first name.
He'd forget that. I mean, it's right there. You read it on your own screen, seeing what the category is. Boom, okay, that should make sense. I loved how he actually, when he went to ask for one of the categories, he put that in the form of a question. It's like, I'd like, what is this, for 200, please? And Trebek's just looking at him going, well, you don't have to ask that one in the form of a question. It's okay, just tell us the category. So
that is like universal karmic justice for his retarded comments. Oh, I get chills in my leg watching Obama. You know, it's like, good grief.
He is an embarrassment. I'm not sure why he is like, he's really the main face of that station.
Yeah.
Oberman's not there. Yeah.
Who's not there?
Oberman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So now it's Matthews.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. The cable description of him, when I flip through and I see the little, you know, sentence they'll put up, and they say something like, the always feisty and opinionated, or something like that, but they make it sound like kind of stupid. You know, or they say manic. The manic host of Hardball. But, yeah, he's they should have put him up against Sarah Palin. That would have been
awesome. That would have been incredible.
Oh, but she, yeah, she wouldn't even know how to what a question is. She'd be like, I think states that end with the letter E. And they'd be like, no, you have to put it in a form of a question, Sarah. That is a question. Like, she wouldn't even know. Okay, she wouldn't even know.
You can hate on her all you want, but I guarantee that if in your pocket you left today with, like, the Sarah Palin lesbian sex tape, you would watch it.
No, I wouldn't. I don't really find her attractive. I don't find really? Anything no, attractive about her. No, she's just gross.
I'm going to test
As a red-blooded male, I would say curiosity kills the cat. I got to watch it.
Word.
Mm-hmm. You got to watch it. Especially if it's with, you know, John McCain's daughter.
Oh.
Well, how old is John McCain's daughter?
I think she's 7.
Oh, okay, that's a little
gross.
No,
her lesbian
Cindy McCain. She's in her 30s. And so.
Oh, okay.
Kind of hot blonde.
Okay, next story that really, this is a ridiculous one.
So how did he wind up, did he end at 6,200 negative?
Negative $6,200.
His final score?
No, yeah. At some point. It's just,
yeah, I mean, at some point. I don't know where he ended up. It didn't actually give that. Okay, so next story. You have a story came out this week that says Jeremiah Wright claims that people from the Obama campaign came out and offered him $150,000 to just stay quiet and not preach until the November presidential election was over in 2008. That they came to him and just said, hey, look, you're saying too much crazy stuff here. You just need to be quiet and go away. He's like, but I need money to be able to feed my family. And they offered him $150,000 for the last 6 weeks to just shut up.
Wow. I'm going to start saying things against the Obama campaign.
That's a good plan.
Yeah, exactly. No, I would never do that, but.
we got a few million coming our way, I think. I don't know. But did you hear, I don't know if you have the thing about the editor from his book company. Did you hear about this? About this was crazy. I don't understand this, how this happens. Okay. They said that that Breitbart found, the Breitbart people found out that in 1991, when he was preparing his first book, that a book company publicity person actually put in his bio for the book, for promotions to people, that the author was born in Kenya. And they found this, and it definitely existed, and it definitely was out there. And yet the publicist comes forward the next day and goes, oh, that was a mistake I made. It's like, how do you make a mistake at a national book company level? I mean, seriously, you fact check these things, you read them over multiple times. I just don't see how you randomly happen to say that this person was born in Kenya. So they're saying, oh, story's over because this lady says so. But I don't really care anymore whether he was born here or not. But that certainly is interesting to me.
Are you calling for a birth certificate, Carl?
I just want to know what the hell happened with this book company. That's just so strange.
Yeah, that is much more important than actually seeing a birth certificate.
Well, sure.
Let's,
why?
Let's find out what's going on with this company and some seemingly easy, gentle mistake.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's much there going on. I mean, they probably just said he's from Kenya by accident.
I mean, that's what she claims.
A couple of things that have been written about me that I was born on the moon. I mean, it just happens. I mean, people don't pay that much attention to the details.
Well, maybe she got it mixed up with his dad, I guess. I don't know.
That's
it just strikes me as very strange. And this was like years before he was famous, where it was, you know, no big deal whether your author was born in Kenya or America, you know? He was just a guy.
He was just a guy.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess we'll just let it slide.
Who went to college locally here in Los Angeles. Just a guy.
Well, yeah. Well, he could be in a foreign
student. Do we even know that he went there?
He went to Occidental, yeah.
Well, there's no grade history. They won't let you see the grades. I tried that one.
They'll just tell you that he went there, but they won't tell you how he did.
Yeah, well, whatever. Hey,
he surfs.
He surfed?
Good. He's a surfer, yeah.
He grew up in Hawaii. I didn't know that.
Lived in Hawaii.
I didn't even think about it, I guess. Now I think he's cool. Everybody who surfs is cool. Or they're a dickhead. I mean, that is the balance there. Yeah,
they're either a poser or they're super cool.
Cool to dickhead.
Yeah.
Okay, next story this week. They have a town in New Jersey that has banned texting while you're walking.
What?
You no longer can walk and use your smartphone to, like, send a message because so many people are hurting themselves.
Yeah.
Walking into traffic, walking into each other.
You've hurt yourself like this, Carl?
The last show I did at the West Side Theater, I was walking and texting, letting you guys know that I was running late. Surprise. And I came within like probably a half a foot of just walking straight into a wall. Boom. I mean, like.
How do you think I broke my foot?
Now, are we going to get the real story here now?
No, I didn't really break it texting.
Sup. No, you ready to come clean?
Yeah, no, it was really sad. My foot fell asleep, and I got up and tried to walk on it, and I turned it.
What did you need so bad? I mean, what was in the other room that you had to get up for?
I had to answer my phone. That was the whole reason I got up.
It was the phone's fault.
It was the phone's fault. Everything is really all accidents in our day and age are blamed on phones because they're really they're the culprit for all accidents. My phone was the problem.
If you were caught in this town walking and texting at the same time, you are going to get an $85 ticket. And in the first 2 days, they handed out 117 of them. So they're pretty serious about this.
Wow.
Which town was this again?
This is a Fort Lee, New Jersey.
Oh.
That's a nice little $9,000 that went into the coffers nice and quick.
Wow. Ooh, that's like
this would be on the next ballot.
I wonder if they even told anybody they were going to do it. They just like all of a sudden, like we put this law into place and we just.
They had posted signs letting people know that as of this date, this law was going to start being enforced. But, you know, it's like. Any, you know, it takes you 10 times to see that sign before you're like, oh, wow, I guess I didn't realize that.
People were too busy texting to see the sign.
Exactly. They should have sent out a massive text to all the citizens of the town.
Right, exactly.
And then saying, hey, folks, just to give you a heads up, this is the town telling you that you can't text and walk anymore.
I think that some of these laws need to be changed, though. I mean, I know they're new, but texting isn't the only dangerous thing you do on your phone. I mean, people walk around playing Angry Birds. People walk around using Rub Maps. I mean, people walk around, like, using all sorts of things that just distract you from what's going on. I mean, when you have, they say you can't use your phone and text at the same time, but can I use my phone and like the GPS on it? Or can I drive and, you know, look up some restaurant I'm going to? Because that's not really texting. Would that hold up in court that you can't text? Oh, I was checking my email.
I think personally, I think in regards to the driving, there should just be a basic law of driving while distracted. Because if you're taking the time to like eat a sandwich while you're driving as well, and you're in an accident, you're distracted. You weren't following the law. You weren't being a safe driver, and you caused this accident. So anything that would distract you, games, you know, the fact that so many people like to have the little things TVs in their front panel, which you're not supposed to have, but they still do. That stuff, all that stuff, shouldn't be allowed.
I agree, sir.
I agree.
Awesome. Yeah.
No makeup. That was a very strong point.
Yeah.
No? Yeah, putting makeup on while you drive is the one that scares me the most.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, one eye at a time. You're not looking at anything. Yeah, you're looking at
the mirror. But you should stop doing it then.
I'm trying.
Joe, you do look really great, though. Your makeup today.
It's fabulous. I appreciate that. It's great.
I put on my beautiful birthday face.
You just think I have makeup on. I'm naturally beautiful. I'm gorgeous.
He naturally looks like a biker lesbian.
You didn't glue those things on.
With the exception of the sideburns.
No, I've seen sideburns on them.
Those are straight mutton chops, baby.
Those are mutton chops, yeah.
Okay, so a NBA basketball player, they're always getting busted for something. Usually it's for beating up some bitch, or it's for like trying to run some drug ring or something.
Raping
awful,
somebody.
You know? Yeah, you know, something really just awful. This guy, you know, sometimes you get in trouble. Chris Birdman Anderson is under investigation after the police came to his house, took all of his computers, and he's now under investigation for child pornography. I mean, where's the fucking crime there?
What's the crime?
His tattoos.
No, wait, no, this is awful. I mean, yeah. I'd rather have somebody who's fighting dogs or like, I mean, this is as low as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And if this guy, if these things do come out and they're true and he is able to come back to the NBA, I will not watch a game.
He played for the Denver Nuggets. He's been suspended by the team thus far, but until they find there's been no final decision as to what they're going to do in regards to him. But
I mean, this is as bad of behavior that a human being can do. I mean, anybody who fucks with kids, like
that's
you're on the list. That's the worst.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they did track this guy down if he is doing something bad, because it's an awful story.
Yeah, being a father, in my opinion, people do this, they need to be snipped. Let's just go back to the days of the eunuchs.
Dude, I think there's all sorts of things in our society that like that type of stuff can work for. You can cut, you can make it the eunuch. You can, if you have like somebody who like abuses the system and gets like 10 abortions or something, like that lady should have her tubes tied and just be done with it. I mean, there is some things that we should do like that.
Well, I spoke actually once for a story with a prosecutor, and I'm a reporter otherwise, for anybody who doesn't know. So, and this prosecutor said that they deal with sex crimes, and they said that the thing that's actually being successful these days in California is that they found a loophole in the law. They flat out say you're mentally ill, and they have a way to lock you away in a mental hospital past your sentence for the child porn or molestation.
Well, this, you know, it's
and
really,
they can keep you there for life in a mental hospital because it's not technically a prison.
Well, you know, it's really weird though, because they have tried in the past. They have these rehabilitation programs for people who commit sex crimes, but they found that for the most part, rehabilitation doesn't work for people who commit sex crimes. So that's why it seems kind of like not really purposeful to stick them in a mental health facility.
Oh, well, no. What it means is that you can't really keep them in prison.
Because they'll be abused.
But don't let them out. Well, and also there's limit. You know,
there's only sentencing limits. So they might go to jail for only 7 years. But if you send them off to a mental hospital because you feel that there's also a sickness that's involved, they can keep you in that mental hospital for 20 years plus they have to be willing to let you out. Just like, I mean, like the whole One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Jack Nicholson went into the mental hospital because he thought he'd be able to finish off his time in a hospital instead of in prison. And the problem was he didn't realize once doing that and voluntarily going into this place, only they can let him out. So that's what he's saying the prosecutors are doing, is they'd rather send him to a mental hospital where they're going to be put away for 15 or 20 years, and maybe there's a hope of rehabilitation in that time, rather than have them just go 7 years in prison and then have to be on a registry and constantly being watched.
Yeah, and that's also expense. Well, there's expense in both ends.
Right.
Well, or you put them away for you said they can hold them for life, technically, although they just started doing this in the last few years. And there are challenges somewhat, probably from ACLU-type places, but they so far it's held up. And they're like, hey, you know what? It's worth the expense to protect a child. Or these guys often do damage to dozens or hundreds of kids. So.
And they don't deserve to play basketball with the chief.
Yeah, that's right, man. I mean, and I can't support an organization that would let somebody like this come back to them and expect my entertainment dollar. I mean, I'm not relying on this person to provide water to my house for like some necessity. This is some extraneous bullshit that I distract myself with, and I can't distract myself with it if I know that that's the type of people that they keep employed with their businesses.
Yeah, and most teams have a level of expectation level of being a good person while you're on the team. You represent the team. We're paying you a tremendous amount of money. We can't afford you going to jail. We can't afford you even being involved in anything that might lead you to jail. And when it's something as egregious as this, it's just he's done in the NBA. There's no way anyone will want to pick him up.
I mean, okay, so you have this story on one side. Then there was a story on like the other side that pissed me off just as much. The state of New York has decided that it is legal to view child porn, like on the internet, like you are allowed to view it. The only thing that they say you can't do is like download it
or upload it.
Like you can't send it to somebody else or take it into your own personal.
That's
files.
So bizarre.
Well, there was a case in which a guy was arrested for having child pornography on his computer. He wasn't actively seeking out any child porn, but pictures from sites that like pop-ups and such would come up.
He claimed he had a virus that brought it into his computer.
And it would cache these pictures are being put into a cache file that is just sitting in the computer. He had no idea it was there.
He didn't actively put them in that file.
Right. He did. Yeah. He was able to prove that he didn't actually put them there, so it wasn't his fault that it was put in his computer. And the judge ruled in his favor that the viewing of it is not illegal. It's the active downloading or uploading of these photos that makes it legal. And that's just in New York, though, because the different states are...
So, hey, man, trade this guy away to the Knicks and everything will be fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awful. Okay, a couple other stories this week that I thought were pretty awesome. Down here, we are at Skid Row Studios, and there is an actor that is thought to be missing down on Skid Row right now.
Oh, my God.
His name is Nick Stahl.
He was the star of Terminator 3, and he recently has gotten involved in the drug scene pretty deeply. And last time he was seen was heading down to Skid Row, and now he hasn't been seen since May 9th.
Oh, that's so sad.
And he's got a wife.
What a way to throw away your life.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He was actually seen on Skid Row on May 9th, supposedly. I wonder who recognized him or reported that, because the wife has no idea where he's at. But they got the word of that.
If he's pretty deep in a drug scene, I'm fairly certain his wife doesn't know he is. I'm fairly certain if he's really...
That's a good point.
Doesn't know where he is?
Doesn't know who he is. Doesn't know who he is or where he might go, because she obviously doesn't know that he's using drugs so excessively, that he's that he, the place he has to go to score is down here on Skid Row.
Oh, interesting. Huh. Yeah.
It's just, you know, keep your eyes open if you're out there for the Star Terminator.
Yeah,
3,
if you get his stuff to get his autograph, make sure you call his wife.
Turn this guy around. Also this week, Governor Jerry Brown says that there was eight... Oh, you have something to add?
I just remember something kind of weird. Somebody brought up that this is now a curse of the Terminator movies, because Edward Furlong was the first kid in the movies and wound up, you know, on drugs and probably still is, I think. And then and now this guy. So they were like... Is it an evil Skynet plan, is what some people said on the threads.
Hilarious. I mean, now you can't think that it's not the same type of drugs, but there's no way that Schwarzenegger wasn't on drugs getting his body up to that big level. So he probably has, like, some stuff coursing through his veins from them also.
You should send Schwarzenegger in to go find him.
Yeah, that would make sense. The Skid Row Expendables. And just see how all that works out. Okay, so you also got Governor Jerry Brown this week saying that we have $8 billion worth of cuts coming to the state this summer, and that there was a plan to start making some of this money up. One legislator thought it would be a great idea to start taxing strip club patrons $10 each time they enter a strip club.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
I mean, that's not even the cover at some places. Like, that's more than the cover at some places.
They have to toss a free lap dance in.
Do you think people would still go to strip clubs? I mean, is that really, it's inelastic demand there? Because like it's not really addictive. Is it addictive? I don't know.
I think some people.
I have some male friends that I can't hang out with because they are just, they're used to going to strip clubs where girls like fawn all over them. And like out in the real world, well, they have to show some personality and they can't just be like, hey, I have some money in my pocket. They can't handle it.
They would have to pay the $10 extra. They would spend like all that money.
Oh, yeah, they would. Yeah. So that means there's half a lap dance that they don't get.
Yeah, let's take the money out of these poor strippers' hands.
So, you know, this seems like it's a good idea.
Poor strippers. Seriously. And their $20 lap dance for 3 minutes.
The rule would be any place that provides for an audience of two or more individuals live nude entertainment and authorizes on-premise consumption of alcoholic beverages would have to have the $10 tax that went to the state.
So
this seems like it's a good idea. Like they're going to use this money to bail us out of what we need. But instead, some other legislator stepped up and like, okay, look, this is a great idea, but we can't use this money on this. We need to use this money to help fund sexual assault awarenesses, prevention and treatment services, forensic exam rape kits, and programs that support victims of sexual exploitation through human trafficking. So this idea that was brought about to...
raise money for the state.
Yeah. Has now decided that, no, we should spend this money on classes to teach dudes that they can't touch girls. I don't even...
Well, you know what I think is weird about even taxing people going to strip clubs is that it's sort of punitive. It's like saying you're going to a strip club, so we're going to charge you extra money, which I don't think there's anything wrong with going to a strip club. I feel like, you know, not that we should judge like this is wrong, so we should tax alcohol because that's wrong and cigarettes are wrong. But I can see how those are self-destructive to your health, you know, and they're taxing things like, you know, drugs and alcohol. Because you're making, like, it's like society saying you're making a bad choice, so we're taxing you. But how is it a bad choice to go to a strip club? I mean, it's just like, whatever. If you want to go to a strip club, that's your choice. You're not hurting the women. The women are doing it because they want to be there, maybe, because you want to make money. So we're charging them extra money. I feel like it's kind of
to me, it's
stupid.
Like, it's way more exploitative to the guys. I mean, they're just idiots for going out there and dropping $1,000 in a night. And then they don't get anything out of it. I mean, as Chris Rock says, there's no sex in the champagne room. I mean, it's not really going to happen. Like, they just trick these
idiot dudes into thinking that, yeah, baby, like, we'll go back there and we'll do more, you know? I've gotten the speech. But it's just like, it's very exploitative to the guys, like just making idiots give up their money for kind of nothing.
Well, you got to think about it. This might also be a way to kind of offset. I don't think strippers are really declaring every penny that they get. So there's a lot of income tax that really isn't being taken in. So the $10, the $10 that they're taking from these guys is, okay, that's just $10 we're taking from the girls this one time for every time they come.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. But yeah.
But if it's $10 to the girls, let's say that you have seven girls that are dancing in a night and you have 50 people come through there. I mean, you're talking about that's more than just $10 on every one of these girls. That's a breakdown of, you know.
If there's 50 guys at $10, there's $500.
How are they going to put themselves through college?
How can they become the stripper with the heart of gold?
And they all have the same stink juice they spray on them. Like every stripper smells exactly the same. I'm not sure what the scent is that they use.
Ode to glitter, because they also all have the body.
It always happens. So you go from that sex story to one, a kinder one. There is a 70-year-old virgin named Pam Shaw who has decided that she is now ready for love. And she is actively using all of the sites trying to lose her virginity at 70 years old.
Oh, my gosh. That's so sad. She's a 70-year-old virgin. Oh,
that's like so much worse than anything Steve Carell even went through.
Yeah.
You're right. That's almost double it.
I know.
But bless her heart.
There's a 90-year-old. Let me see a picture of this woman. She's not unattractive. I mean, she's not unattractive. Like, how did it even happen? Did she just, she must have just avoided people. I mean, how can you go through your whole life?
Wow. Or I didn't see her face, but in general, I saw her.
She's not unattractive. I mean, she's not super attractive, but I mean, she's not unattractive enough.
Anybody got a number?
Oh, Carl.
All right.
I mean, I have an extra ticket
for the Rick the Harris show tonight.
I mean,
Pam, Pam.
That is a long time. I mean, I can see how maybe you make it to 20 or 30 because you've... you've bought into that lie that your parents tell you and that God at the church tells you that, like, you need to save it till you get married and maybe things don't go right and you don't get married. But, you know, then you hit 40 and you start maybe having some more cognitive thinking inside of you, like, that can't really be true. Like, this can't really hurt me. You hit 50 and you're like, wow, like, I have got to do something about this. But 60 years old, you're like, holy shit, I'm wearing diapers now and nothing has ever made it up inside me. And but 70 years old, it's just, it's like, it's like some curse that she's under or something. That is a long...
So she advertised it? She's just like, somebody have sex with me now?
Yeah, so she's looking for people on Craigslist. She's looking for people on Match. I mean, she is... this is what she says.
Someone's going to come save the day.
Now's
Carl,
the time.
Go for it.
She's ready to take the plunge with the right bloke.
The right
bloke. You know, how has Vivid Video not gotten in touch with her and it's like, okay, well, great. Lose your virginity on camera and we'll give you a bunch of money.
Oh, no, I don't know. Okay, so apparently she's a fun-loving lady. This is her
dressed up not, actually.
As singer Tina Turner. Like, this is her...
her impression that she does?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's the reason she's
I wouldn't go near that.
She's scaring them away.
Dude, I think...
The picture looks like she stuck her finger in a light socket.
She's still going to be a virgin at 71.
She's going to be sticking her finger elsewhere for a while to come.
She feels sad. I mean, she says that she has been intimate with a man, at least a little bit of kissing, but she just never got it done. In the late 1960s, she was performing with a whole bunch of guys. Tom Jones is one of the people that she performed with on stage, and she said that he was a very good-looking guy, and they would chat often, but before they went on stage, is like one of his opening acts, but he never put the moves on her. And
after Tom Jones,
like,
everybody
ground her heel into his like side and was like, "What's love got to do with it? I'm Tina." And she's like, "What? Who is this person?"
She, even though she's had this voluntary lifelong abstinence, like she is a performer, she goes under the stage name The Sexation Pam, like sensation and sex written into one word together. But she's just this virgin. I mean, it's pretty crazy.
Well, where does she live? As a singlet or something?
No, Carl's trying to find out more information.
Can I get to her kind of quickly? Carl's like, can I get to her?
She's single. She's 70 and still a virgin. She doesn't look that bad. Whereabouts is she?
No, I have a comment. If she's, because you said bloke, so it sounds like she's British or Scottish or something.
Based off of the picture behind her, it is definitely a European license plate. It's like probably.
They don't even say where she is. That's
no,
possibly Australia. With the name word like bloke.
Have you ever read like a Yahoo News story?
Yeah,
they're fucking worthless. I mean, they really are. There's hardly any.
So we don't even know if this is real news. So we don't really know.
I'm sure like they have some proof that it actually exists, but
because another famous virgin is Susan Boyle from America's Got or whatever, England's Got Talent. Or
is she a virgin?
Well, she admitted that she had never even kissed a man at the time that she won. That she had this sad spinstery life, but you know, and so. It would be interesting to get an update on if she's found romance or if she's, you know, still just locked off from the world or what.
Check that out, Jake. Has Susan Boyle gotten it?
Really, Google found 73 million answers to your query.
At 50 years old, she is still a virgin.
Poor Susan Boyle?
Yep.
Now, because I thought she's like 55 even or something.
She turns 51 on the 23rd of May. Oh. So she's almost her birthday.
She was waiting till she was postmenopausal. She's like, I just don't want to get pregnant.
That probably is a crazy fear that that she probably used to justify it. Like, at least I'm not going to have a kid.
It's my
career. I'm going to be on reality TV one day, and I'm going to be the Susan Boyle.
It is like, people buy into that story, but those stories don't get me at all. Somebody shared with me a story this week about a Korean singer, like who was like this homeless guy that was on the streets, and it was just like a total, to me, Susan Boyle ripoff of just like emotion, and then you come out and you sing this opera song, and it's supposed to be beautiful, but to me, it's like, meh.
Have you ever heard real opera? She doesn't sing like real opera.
Yeah, real opera is amazing.
Yeah, real opera is amazing. Exactly.
You're just tricking the roots.
I don't know.
You're tricking the lowest common denominator, basically.
That's me, then. I got tricked. I thought I was quite touched.
Hey, man, people get tricked. People buy into things that they really shouldn't. There's a story out of Australia about a guy who's won a gold medal, a silver medal, and he made a bet on a football game. And the bet was like money on his side versus if he lost, he was going to have to wear the Borat-style mankini at the opening ceremony of the London Olympics. He lost. So now he has to figure out how he can pay back on this bet, making the story even better. He is in contention to be the flag bearer because he's been in more Olympics than any other Australian who is currently qualified for the Olympics. And that's how they choose who carries the flag. So
they're not going to pick him.
Well, no. There's
no choice. I mean, it has to do with who qualifies for it. It's the person who's been in it the most, and they have a great attitude about it.
There's one guy who has yet to qualify in a swimming in one of the swimming categories. If he qualifies, he will be going to his seventh Olympics. If he fails to, then the rifle and the he's a sharpshooter, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And he's not a good looking dude. I mean, he's
he's one big dude,
fat and old. I mean, he's been going to Olympics now for 20 something years. So this isn't some. The quote here is from the Australian Olympic team. Age is the problem here. Russell is no spring chicken. His days of being a model are long gone, and we don't think it would look good for the team to have Russell in a mankini. Besides, this will be his sixth Olympic. And this is a chance, and he has the chance to be named as flag bearer. Imagine the flag bearer out in front of our team in the mankini, a big butch shooter at that. As we all know, London weather is fickle, and we would not want him to catch cold.
His white rhino would show up. Never mind, that was from earlier.
Carl is kind of our white hornless rhino.
Okay.
It's all good. Okay, hey, before we get into a couple other things, we should do like a preview of what's going on this weekend. And I guess one of the big things is we have our show Saturday night.
Yeah.
Going to be a crazy good lineup. We have Sapna, who's been with us here today. We also have Eric Griffin from Workaholics, Brian Scolaro, who's had three different network TV sitcoms, and he's been on Conan. Karen Kilgariff, who's been Kilgariff.
Nicole Gariff,
who was a writer for Ellen, and she's a hilarious guitar comic. We also have Josh Nassar from the Improv and the Comedy Store, Jeb Cadwell, who was on here last week, Omar Nava, and Justin Kusin. So totally excited by it. Down at the West Side Comedy Theater, $10 Saturday night, 8 o'clock. You should bring all your friends. Tell them it's the greatest time you've ever had in your life.
Stay out of downtown. You're going to want to. It's going to be way too packed down there with all the people coming in to watch Laker and Clipper and Kings games.
Oh, yeah, that's incredible. And they have all three games in one day?
No. Actually, the weekend setup where there's going to be two games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from the different teams. We're all going to wind up playing against.
Plus the bike race.
The bike race. Right. And there's also a concert or something else going on. It's going to be a zoo.
Yeah, the wall, right, at the Coliseum?
The wall at the Coliseum.
Oh, that's poor planning. How do they all jam all that?
They can't control the playoffs when it comes to what teams make it. So it's just the way it happens. We're lucky to have such a great sports town right now. But so avoid downtown and the mess that's going to be, and come on up to Santa Monica and see a great comedy show.
That'd be a great plot for a new terror movie. Is have a day like the ultimate storm of 100,000 people jamming the downtown.
It's a perfect storm of
three
people.
Three blocks of L.A.
And I guess you also have some other events going on, too. It's also the Pasadena Marathon this weekend. Yeah. And there's going to be a lot of things that get in the way of my day. But I'm excited because I get my second, since I've been married, bachelor weekend. My wife's going away for her, she's going on a girls' weekend. So I get to do whatever I want to do.
Okay.
Nice. Plans have changed.
So okay.
It has to do with having the show on Saturday night and not being able to get out and...
So you're going to go maybe next week or something. That'd be nice. That's good.
I'm excited by it. Good. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Okay, so the story of the week to me was the Breastfeeding Time magazine cover.
God.
Did you guys pay much attention to this Time magazine?
How could you not?
Time magazine put out a cover of a woman with a child on a stool standing up. He's about 6 years old, comes up to her breast, and he is breastfeeding on the cover of Time magazine with the headline that has really pissed off a lot of ladies: "Are you mom enough?" Implying that if you don't do this, then you are not a true mother.
That's really not fair. That's not. Some children are allergic to breast milk. Some women have problems with it.
It's not
some
easy.
Kids have sharp teeth.
It's not easy. And how old was this kid? Six years old.
I thought it was three.
Sometimes I use a breast pump just for fun, and I tell you, it's not easy.
You're right, Carl. You're right.
Just kidding.
Right. He's turned four since the story came out. So
it still is a weird photo, man.
It is weird. I'll turn it your guys' way if you want to see it.
I don't know how that got in the stores.
That is so gross. They felt like this four-year-old child nuzzling the mother's breast
pancakes
fun.
After this.
We've been in a weird place with this stuff. I mean, you have the stories of this. You also have the girl from Blossom, Maim
Bialik,
who is a big advocate of this and keeping the kid in the bed for as long as
they're comfortable.
Then you also have the other story that's really weird to me about Alicia Silverstone, who would take food, chew it up, and then regurgitate it into her kids' mouths.
Oh my God!
Penguins do it, is her argument.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That is not enough for me.
She actually tells people this.
Yeah.
The video got all over the national news. Yeah. She put it out on the YouTube showing that she does this. And it's just like, don't judge.
Because blenders aren't good enough.
Wow. That's special.
That's just a big bag of awful.
Yeah, she says it's very bonding. And then you see, she's talking about somewhere. She's like, look, and her kid comes running into the studio. He goes on The View and starts going, Mama! And she starts chewing something. And the kid's like, hey. It's like, oh, geez.
Oh, my God.
I wonder what her animal totem is.
I blame parents, man. When the fuck did all these parents think they're so important? They have to do everything for their child. You have to protect them from everything. You have to do everything that you possibly can for them. Give it a fucking rest. Let your kid get some scraped knees. Let your kid have to learn how to chew his own fucking food. What are you going to do if somehow you crash on the way home and you got a 7-year-old kid that isn't used to eating anything because it hasn't been chewed up for him first? Oh. Is he going to die now too? You got to give him some fucking life skills.
And that's one to grow on.
It's ridiculous. Parents, you're not that important. You've done the job. You carried the egg. You shot the jizz. You have made what you have to do. Sure, help them out some, but don't do everything. Like, let your kid develop some skills.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, the parents are like, here's the key to the house. You're what, like eight? Can you do the laundry and maybe make some dinner now? You know, because like when we grew up, it was like that. You know, you just sort of fend for yourself.
You know? If you wanted to smell right, you had to wash your clothes.
Right, I mean, like, exactly.
Because mom's not doing it.
Like, mom's busy at work. You got to do it on your own. You know?
Now it's like you have to plan every little play date. You have to plan every little, every type of activity they're going to do. It just seems like parents really take themselves way too serious. Back the fuck off.
I used to ride in the back of the Volkswagen Bug in the little boot area above the engine in a little tin, you know, wind-up car. That was my favorite spot.
We used to be able to ride in the back of a pickup truck. Now, legally, no one is allowed to ride in the back of a truck anymore. Like, that's such a dangerous thing. Have you done this recently, Carl?
My friend Willie Lazo has a pickup truck, and he has one of those covers for it.
Yeah.
Because he's a cameraman with a lot of tools. And sometimes he has it empty, and as just for laughs... on two occasions, once in Chicago and once in L.A., I drove across the city sliding back and forth underneath the roof on his cab. It was quite terrifying, actually, but it's kind of funny.
That's how my uncle used to bring his kids up for camping trips. He had a Toyota truck that had the super cab over the back, so it was big enough that the kids could kind of like sit up. But they all sat around and like cross-legged or laid down in the length of the bed and played games and just... That was the drive. It'd be 5 hours but like that with pit stops, and that was about it to whatever campground you would go to. My parents would let one of us sit in the back of a minivan with no kind of restraint system or nothing. We were just lying back there reading books while the other two sat in the chair up front.
Ridiculous.
I mean, it's...
Well, this was
overly protective of our children, and the government makes us overly protective of them on purpose.
Well, Willie doesn't even have that cab. It's just a flat thing. So I'm just like laying there like I'm in a coffin. It's crazy.
Okay, we're down to the end of the week here on Grand Theft Audio Radio. It's been a really fun week. We got to bring you the interview with Carl and Rick Nahara. We also got to have Joe break his radio virginity with us today. Thank you so very much, Joe.
On his birthday, no doubt.
Yeah, that was nice.
Not Thanks, too bad. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, man, it was great having you in here. Sapna, thank you for coming in as well.
Thank you.
And where can people learn more about you if you want people to learn more about you?
I have a website called Sapna.
Vegetarians.com?
No, it's sapna-kumar.com, which is sapna-kumar.com. But I also have another one up just in case you can't find that. It's funnyindianlady.com. So
nice.
That makes it a little bit easier if you can spell it. I am.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I'm very light-skinned.
I have so many questions about India that I could have asked, but I didn't know that. So we are done for the week, man. It's been a fun one, Brent.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah. Anything you're doing this weekend besides our show?
Just the show and working my tail off. I've got an entire weekend full of work.
All right, dig it, man.
What about you?
Yeah, having the life to myself is going to be great. Come back next Monday. We got a great lineup. I'm Jake Belcher.
And I'm Brant Thoman.
Joe Bove.